scratch just for you. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, 1235 Washington Avenue downtown or 12796 Manchester, just west of 270. Rosalita's Cantina, Tex-Mex, done right.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn. If you're looking for last-minute gift ideas, stocking stuffers, or even a gift you can send someone via email, check out my website, badmoodgoodmood.com. Bad Mood Good Mood is a new book detailing some of the wildest and craziest true happenings in the life of a private investigator and radio personality. Want to turn your bad mood into a good mood? There's hardback versions for $15 and audio and e-versions for just $10. Check out my book of 50 short and hilarious stories online at badmoodgoodmood.com. First, let's talk about the food before we let you know where you can feast on it. When was the last time you had beef tenderloin with a tangy Greek sauce sliced into juicy medallions that are so tender you could eat them with a butter knife? It's called the Pepper Loin, and that's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin. You know the place, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Open for lunch Tuesday through Sunday and dinner 7 days a week, and serving only USDA prime beef. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
Denise here from Appliance Discounters. Let's talk GE Appliances. First of all, what do you prefer? Professional and European? Restaurant inspired? Modern with clean lines? Now you can choose any inspiration with the GE product line, as well as a variety of finishes like stainless steel, black stainless, slate, and black slate, and they're all on display at any of the Appliance Discounters locations. As always, get them for the lowest price and with rebates up to $1,500 on select packages. Shop the locally owned Appliance Discounters with six showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Spiro's is bringing class and relaxation back to New Year's Eve, along with fun and the best food. Big events and bars have parking issues, packing people in like cattle, and not to mention the subpar food. Not at Spiro's in St. Charles, where they are only taking a limited number of reservations, a number that's much less than the restaurant holds. Features include premium seating, half price on all cocktails, live entertainment, noisemakers and champagne at midnight, plus the best food in the STL. The outdoor stone Greek oven will be cooking the great food, and you can enjoy your favorites like clam bakes, stuffed pork chops, and so many others. Call today, because Spiro's is not jamming people in. They want you and your friends to enjoy great food, ample space, and easy parking. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital. Call today to make your reservation at 636-916-1454.
Work before and after school and start each shift with
Let me tell you what's going to happen here. I know we have calls already for Scott, and I'm going to ask those people to be a little bit patient and hang on, because we got some business to attend. Here's the business. Once a year, Dan Strauss sings Reindeer Rock. It is a highly requested performance, and he's about to do that. I wanted Scott Sherman to join in. Scott's just out of the green room. Scott, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Now, I know that when you were in the green room, they called in a paramedic because you were lit up. You came in, you had a bad experience at some store, and they were afraid you might have a heart attack. So they have we have
nitroglycerin they gave me under the tongue.
Yeah, we have a staff paramedic.
They give you Narcan?
Not me.
We have a staff gynecologist for the ladies downstairs in the office, Dr. Harry Holchek. Mm. He is our... We brought him from the other station. He's been with us for years, Dr. Holchek.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Are you sure he's a gynecologist? That's not what he told me.
No, he's a Russian. Boy. He's Russian.
Is he?
Yeah.
So, I think they settled you down. I know they gave you the hot stone massage with the hot stones on you, and you got in the hot tub. You also then had an ice bath. So I hope you're okay.
Feel better.
You want to briefly tell us what happened? Okay. You sort of started to tell me.
Yes, I do. I am a 20-year-plus customer of an office supply store.
Okay.
And that I go to
a well-known chain.
Yeah. And I go to one particular location quite often. And under normal circumstances, they are very helpful to me. And I don't say I spend a lot of money there, but I spend all of my office supply needs with this particular place.
Now, how much a year would you spend, do you think? $3,000?
Four grand.
Yeah. That's significant.
Maybe five. It's a necessity, and it's the lifeblood of my business.
Okay.
Today I went in there, and we're all very busy trying to get things done before the holidays and the end of the year. And I ran out of ink, and I have a particular two types of printers that when you run out of ink, that's it. It shuts it down.
No, I have that, and I hate it.
Gone.
It doesn't give you a warning.
No, I was in the middle of actually doing something.
You have 20 more pages. No.
And tomorrow I have a deadline for filing some legal documents for a case that I have, and in the middle of it, gone. That's it. Done. So I went over there, and I figured, well, I'm over here. I may as well stock up on all the other things that I need.
I hate to say this, but you should know to have an extra ink cartridge.
You are 100% right.
I mean, I'm just telling you.
100% right.
Because I have to always make sure I have one standing by because I have the same stinking thing.
Yep, and you're right about that.
But you didn't.
And every single time that I have gone in there for the last 15 years, for sure, I write a check. And people make fun of me for that, but that's how I do my bookkeeping. I got a big check ledger, and I write the receipt part, and I write the big, long check thing, and everything goes very well. Not today.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, that's very scary because you're not quite sure this day and age what is going on with your bank account. I reached into my pocket. I pulled out the last bank statement I had, which was from yesterday, and I'm fine. But I'm not sure if my account's fine. So I said to the gal, can you please run that again? It's never been declined ever. And she's,
oh, they declined what exactly?
My check. They put it through, and then that little pad there, and then she announces to the other people, your check is declined.
Oh, boy. See, humiliated.
Yeah, and well, not yet, but it got there.
Oh, boy.
So she was very nice, and I said, will you do me a favor, run it again? While she was running it again, I said, I supposedly have this money in my bank account. I said, I know it's TMI, but let me show you what it is.
Oh, what does that mean, TMI?
What that,
too much information.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't want to think of some overdraft guy. And I said, will you do me a favor?
I know it's TMI, but WTF.
Yeah. Text lingo.
I said, while we're looking at this bank statement, here's the 800 number. Will you please call my bank? Because I'm now more worried about my bank account than I am the $800 or the merchandise that's sitting here. Maybe somebody has,
Hacked it.
Yeah. Right. She calls the bank. While she's calling the bank, I'm calling the branch of my bank to talk to the branch manager. With whom I have a relationship. By the time we both get off the phone, his line was not there. Voicemail.
Yeah, what's funny about this, I just had a bad dealing with a Christmas tree lot, and I had to call the branch manager.
Oh, my goodness.
The branches were missing. Thank you.
Oh, my.
Thank you, everybody. Look at them. There you go.
Just a stump.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I heard the first
time. No, doubt that.
Yeah, I heard.
You had to do it.
And so... we get off the phone at the same time, and she says to me, I talked to the people at the bank. There's absolutely no problem. That is what on your balance that they say, so it's fine. It's our fault. It's internal. I said, great, fix it. Said, since I came to you and I presented my check to you and I have the funds, I want my stuff. Well, we can't do that. I said, why don't we try to do that?
Oh,
now, about a minute and a half before she started checking
in. Did you say, don't you know who I am?
No, I didn't. I said, don't you know who the guy behind me is?
Yeah, you say, I don't like that. Don't you know
who I am? I
didn't.
I never did.
It's better that they not know.
No. So before her, there was a guy that I didn't recognize who had a little tag on that I didn't pay much attention to that apparently said assistant manager. I never met him. I'm in there five times a month for 20 years. I've never seen this guy before. So he was pretty smug when I asked him this question at the beginning, which is, they didn't mail me the little coupons. I'm one of these, they want your number for your rewards program. I said, usually they'll mail me coupons. They're great coupons, 20% off this, $20 off that. And they'll accommodate people, right, not just me. And he said, we don't do that. Those get mailed from corporate. They don't get mailed to us. So I said, okay. And then
he
left.
Valley girl.
Yeah, he sounded like a girl from California.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he sounded like to me.
We did that.
He came back. She went to get him. I'm like, oh, boy. So he said, is there a problem? I'm like, yes. I have presented you with a check for $800-something, and we just talked to your person right here, just talked to my bank, and those funds are good. I would like you to try this again. Well, maybe it's our system. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but will you try this again? So we went to another register. He fumbled around with it again and came back to me and was like, I don't know what to tell you, but we're not going to take your check. I said, and I'm not going to mention
that. Now your blood's boiling.
I'm on 9.5 out of 10. I said, may I say his first name? Because I don't know his last.
Sure.
Kevin. Okay. I said, well, Kevin, where is Mark, who is the manager that I know? I'm Mark's boss. I said, fantastic. Then you're the person I need to talk to. How do we get this transaction completed so I can get my merchandise, you can get your money, and I can get back to work?
Get back to the radio station where I'm about to tell the whole world what a putz you are.
Mm. That was about 90 seconds later.
Yeah.
I said, he goes, well, I don't know what to tell you, but it's not taking it. I said, I just told you that your person right there, she's standing right next to you. She verified with my banking institution at the 800 number that's on my receipt. And by the way, Kevin, so that you don't think I'm just saying things, take a look at, I'm not bragging, I'm just showing you I can afford this. The money's there.
Why did she say, that's right, I did?
She did. She said, that's right, I did. I said, well, whomever it is that your third-party vendor that checks these checks, call them. Well, you hired them. Oh, I didn't hire them. I said, okay, Kevin, they just drop out of the sky and check checks randomly. I said, since you're the boss, are you going to stand by this decision? When I talk to who's your boss? His name is so-and-so. I don't know what his name is. I said, well, call him. I can't call him. I said, you could. Why won't you? He's on a family emergency right now, and he can't be reached. I said, great.
Yeah, well, you're about to have the family emergency when they take you with a broken neck.
I said, well, who's his boss? I'm not calling him. I said, oh, so let me get this straight. You, Kevin, you're going to stand by this decision so that when I get a hold of whomever I have to, including the CEO, are you the CEO of this company? No. I said, well, I'll find out who is. And guess what? I'm going to tell him that Kevin told me to take my $800-something in materials and stick it, and I'll never be back. And guess what else I'm going to do, Kevin? What? About 4 o'clock, I want you to turn the radio on. Ooh, I gave him the call letters.
This is good.
He goes, I'm not going to do that. I said, I know people that will, and maybe your boss will. I said, can I have the number to the guy who's the boss of your boss? I'm not giving you that. I said, give me my card. I had given the gal my card. I said, give me my card. I wrote my cell phone number on it. I said,
does your card have attorney at law?
Oh, yeah. It's my business card. I wrote the back. I said, here's my cell phone number. I'm not too busy to talk. Apparently, you are. So here's the deal, Kevin. You take all your stuff. And I was very careful. I was actually channeling you. Don't swear. Don't curse. And I did raise
my
voice.
Which, by the way, folks, is tough for Scott.
I don't know how I do this. The only time I don't curse is on the air. And I said, and you know what? Now there are people behind me, 4, 5, 6 deep. I don't care. I said, I'm not going to be humiliated by this. I said, I'm going to let everybody know right now. I got the money for this. I gave them the check. And whatever outfit they have that they do these checks, we've been running checks all day. I said, apparently you've not been running them right because I've never had this problem in this place. And I'm going to tell you right now, they are smug about your business. They don't care. And Kevin here, whom I've never met in my entire life, and I've been coming here for longer than he's been working for them, and he's everybody's boss, thinks it's better for him to tell me to take the $800 and stick it back on the shelf than to give the money to this or take it on faith that this check is good when my bank told them it's good. They were about to call the police. And I said, do me a favor, Kevin. I'm not listening to your radio station. I said, do me a favor. I said, I've got a lot of time on my hands, and I run a business. I said, Kevin, you don't run a business, do you? Well, I'm running a business. I go, no, no, no. You're running somebody else's
operation. You're ruining a business.
I said, here's what I'm doing. I'm telling you right now, two people are in this fight, and one's going to come out alive because I can find another place to buy ink and paper and paper clips and other stuff. Good luck finding another job when you decided I'm the deadbeat.
Now, this store, which we won't name, is not Staples.
No.
It's not Office Max, right?
Well,
Office Max?
Technically, no.
That doesn't leave many.
Not technically.
That doesn't leave many.
Well, I mean, if you Google that, there might have been some
another
kind
one
of merger. I don't know, but not for sure.
I got you.
I'm not
Okay, but the name on top of the building was not Office Max.
Here's what happens when I usually walk in there. Hi, Scott. How you doing? Hello, sir. How are you? And this guy, Mark, who is fantastic and apparently is the underling of this fool, this smug Kevin, he not only knows me. When I was moving my office down the hallway and I needed a second bookcase, which I bought at this place from him, he went online and found it. The only one in North America happened to be at Ross Road and Olive in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm not kidding because they discontinued it. He called them for me not 4 months ago and said, my very good customer is on his way over there. Don't you dare sell that. Put it on hold and he will be over there.
I'll tell you how we spend this. Let's give a nice shout out and compliment to what was that guy's name?
Mark.
To Mark at Office Depot. Okay.
Where?
Office Depot.
Wait, I thought we weren't naming it.
No, we're naming it in a positive way.
Mark?
All the great experiences you've had with Mark.
Oh, and it's not just Mark. There was another gal who everyone who is over sort of in that Richmond Heights area would know. She had a boot on her foot. She broke her foot or something. She was the regional manager. She was one of the nicest people ever.
A lot of good people at Office Depot.
They're all gone now. Mm.
Except, and look what happened.
And here's what they got.
All right, we've just eaten up so much time. We're not doing Reindeer Rock to the Playhouse. We're not doing it. We got all these people on hold. Hit the theme music for Scott Sherman. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry, but that was a great customer service story about horrible customer service. Scott Sherman is an attorney at law. He's here to give you free advice. Here are the numbers, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. He's brought to you by Window World. Peroni's Pizza. I got worked up too over this. Peroni's Pizza. Peroni's Pizza has two locations. They're in Florissant and they're in St. Peter's, and they have this unbelievable, great, all-you-can-eat buffet Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Too late now because it's 4:27. But again tomorrow. Oh, and by the way, on Friday, that all-you-can-eat buffet includes their famous chicken wings. If you want to know more, go to their website, PeroniesPizza.com, and you spell it P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S, PeroniesPizza.com. Now we can jump on the phones, and this poor Phyllis has been waiting for ever. Bill's been waiting longer. Let's go to Bill. He's been waiting even longer. Bill, you're a patient man. Now it's going to pay off. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Merry Christmas, and say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Bill.
In the PM.
Yeah, Bill just woke up. He had to set an alarm to wake up and take a nap while he was waiting for us.
Sorry, Bill.
What do you have for Scott?
Okay. I have an idea. I want a patent. I don't know how to find a patent lawyer. I don't know who to go to. Should I go to a small patent lawyer? Should I go to a big group?
I think you should not go to one of the big firms. I think that you should go to a patent prosecutor specialist. Now, in the world of intellectual property, there are copyrights and there are trademarks and there are patents. Patents are things that move. They're sort of mechanical. They're devices that have systems to it. But I would go to someone.
Let's stop there and make sure that Bill understands that.
Yeah.
Bill, is this something that actually needs a patent or a trademark or a service mark or copyright?
I believe it's a original patent. I think I don't know much.
For something mechanical, something that moves. Is it something mechanical? It's not a book. It's not an idea.
It's not a book. It goes on a motorcycle.
Okay, then patent me a patent.
A patent. Patent prosecutors do not do criminal law. They are the ones that actually take those designs, they take the specs, and they go through the process with you, with the person looking for the patent, with the U.S. Trademark and Patent Office. Just because someone is an intellectual property lawyer, they may know a lot about copyright. They may know a lot about trademark, things that you write, you paint, an idea, a name brand, recipes. But unless you're a patent prosecutor or you have a patent prosecutor, you don't have the right person. And these big silk stocking law firm people charge $500 an hour, and your case is not nearly as important to them as would be someone who specializes in it.
Okay, so, in the interest of time, how does he find this person?
Send me an email. I got a couple people that know the people that do that.
Okay, I got another question.
Yes, sir.
If my idea is original, but it's also something that somebody else could manipulate and change a couple bolts here or there, can they get a patent on their stuff and maybe make it a little better than what mine is right now? What
There's well, always this better mousetrap stuff. But when you have a patent, you have a lot of power. And then when you do have that, anything that's similar, they're going to have to go through the process and they're going to go, wait a minute. This Bill was here and we gave him a patent. This thing looks just like it. It's very difficult to get a patent. You'll see a lot of products that'll say, patent pending. That means they don't have one.
Right.
They didn't get it. That doesn't mean they have a patent. So also remember this. Alexander Graham Bell was not the first person to invent a telephone. But he was actually, and it's weird because at the same time somewhere else, another guy was trying it, and he got there first. And we don't even know, and I don't even know.
His name.
His name, and I'm a weird history person. Yeah.
Bill,
I don't know.
Bill, I don't know a lot about this, but I know a little because I have a couple of people who've done that. You've got a long road ahead of you here, and the question you asked about, can somebody else do this? That's why you need to go to this patent prosecutor. They can answer that. And the answer is probably, yeah, down the road, somebody clever will come along with a way to do what you're doing, make it just different enough that it's not exactly the same. But that's all stuff that they'll help you sort through.
I think they can do a patent like for an add-on to it or something like that.
But we don't know anything.
Yeah. But if you get the patent, you're going to make so much money if this thing is valuable, and you'll get so much residuals and so much in licensing that you won't care if they come along later.
If this is something that's not just something you think is great, but lots of people buy it, they may not buy it. It might not be near as great as you think it is.
It's like worrying, if you're Neil Armstrong and you're worried about somebody else, well, somebody else might come to the moon. Yeah, right. But you're Neil Armstrong.
Bill, good luck. Do you have Scott's email address?
Yeah, scottsherman@gmail.com.
No.
Law office of scottsherman@gmail.com.
There you go. All right, there you go. Good luck, Bill. When you get really rich, remember we helped you, okay?
All right.
Thank you. Holding forever, but no more, is Phyllis. Phyllis, Merry Christmas. Welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hi to Scott Sherman.
Well, hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm great, Phyllis.
Now, she doesn't sound mad or in a bad mood. She's been holding for like 25 minutes.
I apologize for my rant.
I'm not in a bad mood. You know what? This
chicken butt
hour or 2 hour is so informative. We should almost pay just to listen.
Forget the almost. Let's start paying. Everybody, start paying.
Pay up. It's a great idea.
I knew you would love that.
I'll even give Phyllis my Office Depot reward points if she sends in some cash.
No, thank you.
Phyllis, what do you have for Scott?
Well, you know what? I've got myself in kind of a bind, and I'll try to make this as fast as possible. My husband was ill for a very long time, pretty much spent our life savings. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. Let me just put that little asterisk on it. But when I moved from the big house to a condo, I paid cash for the condo because I didn't want a bill. Well, the association fee is killing me. And
I don't understand the I paid cash for the condo because I didn't want to build. What does that mean?
Well, I didn't want to make a payment on it.
Okay, all right. Well, that
I did not want a loan on it. I wanted a free and clear, and my house was free and clear.
Okay, all right. Now you're there, and the association fees are outrageous. So what is?
Well, they're pricey, and I knew that. But what happened was somehow in the mix of things, it got tacked on about $125. I have fallen behind in my condo fees, and I just recently received a letter from an attorney. Can they sell my condo for past condo fees that are due?
No, they can't sell your condo. They could put a lien against your condo. I'm sorry, here's Dan Strauss.
Oh, they would put a lien on it.
they can press you. They can do some things to make you uncomfortable. They can't sell. Just hey, by the way, we just sold your condo. They can't do that. No.
Well,
how many months behind are you?
Five.
Well, it's not the end of the world. Here's Scott.
What's your condo worth?
About $360 to $375.
Home equity loan. You don't want to screw with these people. I hate these people. Not these particular ones, but just the Homeowners Association. I don't know what evil is written into this witch's brew, but you know, if they put somewhere in there that if you're such and such amount behind and you're delinquent over $10,000, then they can force the sale. They can never get more than you owe them, but what a nightmare. I'm not telling you where, but I'm
telling
you,
there's one piece of information we don't have that we need, because you asked about a home equity loan. Yeah. You say it's worth $375. What do you owe on it?
Nothing.
Oh, that's right. You paid cash. My goodness, a home equity loan is a slam dunk for you.
Slam dunk idea.
But wait a minute.
First Community.
There's always a but.
In your face. Well, that was our other thing. We said there's always an hour in life, and there's always a butt in your face. And we decided we would do that.
I think that's
I'm not the lead dog, so you're right. The scenery never changes.
What is your reluctance to do the home equity loan?
My credit isn't what it was at one time.
Okay, guess what? That's not that important. You own the whole thing. There's a bunch of equity there. You can have crappy credit. You'll get the home equity loan. Phyllis, and I'm going to turn back over to Scott, but I say get it, get caught up, and get out of there and get out from under the fee.
Do you know the percentage of people in this community that have $300,000 in equity in their home right now?
Very few.
One.
Very few. I know.
Mike, you might be the only one.
Credit becomes much less important when you have that kind of equity.
That's right.
I wanted to get one of those, I can't even think of it, you know, for senior citizens.
Oh, no. Reverse mortgage?
But let me tell you the caveat on that. The condos have to be HUD approved.
Here's the deal.
We're gonna
smart bomb all the mess, and we're gonna fix this right now. Those things are horrible. You have as a resource one of the greatest lending institutions for your situation that exists, First Community Credit Union.
That's right.
Then go walk in there and say, "Here's my situation, problem solved." And if you need a real estate lawyer to talk to this fool from this condo association, I hope it's the one where I just sued them. Yeah, I hope he represents the one I just sued.
The truth is here, you are behind. You shouldn't be behind. I don't know what your rules and regulations and whatever say about how many months you get. But here's the deal. You have an easy way to get caught up. The home equity loan, get enough money, get caught up, sell it, and go somewhere where the fee's not so great. That's it. Unless you have to stay there. Do you want to stay there?
I do want to stay here.
Well, then you can't stay there and keep not paying the fee.
Well, but let me just say this. There is, and I've talked to Scott about this before, I have my husband has a huge investment before he passed away, and it was something that we just ignored in the chaos of his illness. I'm having to go through California courts to have a pretty large sum of money come my way.
Okay, what does that have to do with this?
But Phyllis, the clock, with all due respect, is ticking. So if you want to reach back out to me or just walk in tomorrow to First Community and say, I need a home equity loan, a modest one, so you can catch up on this, because that condo association, they don't care about you anyway. But boy, if they get your leg in a bear trap,
You're talking about money you've got coming to you, like you're waiting for that to get caught up. Get the home equity loan, get caught up, and then when the money comes in, pay it off. That's all. And then you'll have money to pay your association fee. That's it.
Well, you know, I've never been in this situation in my life.
Okay, but you're not in a situation. This is easy. It's nothing.
Piles of money at your the equity is yours. It's just not liquid. It's just not in the bank. It's not in your bank account. But it will be. You're not going to hurt yourself. It's as though someone from First Community called us. This is like the most teed up, perfect solution for First Community I've ever heard.
This is one of those calls where the caller is worried about nothing. You have nothing to worry about.
And if you are worried, Phyllis, send me an email and we'll walk you through it.
It's so easy. So easy. You'll get caught up. You'll get this money coming to you. You pay off the home equity loan.
And we'll send a letter to this fool, and we'll get them off your back so they don't send you letters like that anymore.
Okay. Well, they are fools.
Okay.
One of the ladies, her term was up. I ran for that and won.
Okay, Phyllis, none of that matters. We got people waiting. Here, do you have Scott's email address? Do you have his email address?
I do. I have it already.
Shoot him an email. This is a no-brainer. This is easy.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, Phyllis. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
She was all over the place.
It would be unethical of us for her to give us her house, right?
No, not to me. I'll take it.
Well, that would be a good solution.
I think Mike is next. Mike, welcome to 590. The Fan, Scott Sherman, is at your service. Merry Christmas. Say hi to Scott.
Merry Christmas, guys. Hi, Scott. How you doing?
I'm great. Merry Christmas, Mike.
Hey, Scott, I think I know the answer to this. It's probably going to be there's nothing I can do, but I work for a trucking company, and they've got these cameras in trucks now that they kind of monitor everything you do. If you hit the brakes too hard, they just, like, it records you.
Are they cameras, or are they the black box type things that record the actions in the truck? They don't actually watch you the whole time you're in there.
No, just if there's an incident.
Okay.
If you brake too hard coming up to a stoplight, it records it.
Okay, when you said they have cameras in your truck, you made it sound like they're watching everything you do. But they record every action of that truck that might be suspicious.
They can, but they say they don't unless there's an incident.
Well, are there actually physically lenses, cameras in there or not?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm with you. I think that if they have that capability, they could pop in any time. Let's see what Mike's doing in the truck. So what is your question for Scott?
Well, they're getting just so strict on this stuff. I had a meeting the other day, and they said that I wanted to give a fake name because they might find out who I am. But they said that now they're going to start. They have these things in the truck to where if you go off to the right and you hit a line, you go off to the left and you hit a line. Just, you know, it beeps. And now when that beeps, the camera's going to focus on you, and it's going to see if you're drowsy. And then if they determine you're drowsy, they're going to send you in for sleep apnea studies. Now, if you have sleep apnea and you're a truck driver, you're not going to work any other place. So if they send me in there for sleep apnea, which everybody gets drowsy, they're driving 400 miles in the middle of the night.
Well, not everybody's a truck driver, though. I mean, look, there's no way they're going to call you in, send you for sleep apnea if you do it once or twice. There's no way. Everybody crosses the line a little at some point. You reach over, you get a little strike, you change the radio, whatever. Why are you worried about this? Because you've had it happen several times?
No, this just came up. There's just so many restrictions, and this just came up. And I'm like, I know a guy that works in a different company, and he had sleep apnea, and he can't drive a Class A truck anymore.
Okay.
Because
so what is your question for Scott? Is this legal, or what is your question?
Yeah, is it an invasion of your privacy in a way to make you go down to the... Now, I understand they can fire you for whatever they want, but to make you go to a hospital and say and have treatment for something... Isn't that kind of an invasion of your privacy to say, hey, you need to go to the hospital to us to look into this? Because I wouldn't want that on my record, because I won't work for another company again. If you got that sleep apnea on that license, it's going to be tough getting another job, so I probably wouldn't go.
Is this just your trucking company doing this, or is it the entire trucking industry? How many drivers work for your company?
About 25 in this area. They're nationwide. There's thousands.
And so far, how many people have been sent away for sleep apnea treatment?
This is just starting in a month.
It sounds to me like you're worried about something that hasn't even happened yet. And it may not. Yeah. So here's Scott.
Are you a Teamster?
No, I'm not.
All right. No other union that you're affiliated with for the employment?
No, sir.
Is there a toilet in their cab? Like a bathroom?
No, it's all local.
Well, it's actually... like the Chuck Berry rule, then that's not invasion of privacy to have these cameras. There's no reasonable expectation of you being in that cab that your employer can't watch you do what the rest of the society while you're out driving around in public can see pretty much, which is you driving around. Now, with respect to the invasion of privacy question, it's more of a HIPAA, more of a health insurance or a health sort of condition issue. But when you sign up for this and there's no collective bargaining agreement, you're into that at-will employment. You don't have to go to a sleep apnea study if you're wandering around if they order you to. You just leave the job. That's it. But the question then becomes, is there an Americans with Disabilities Act problem that the employer has, where if somebody does have some kind of sleep apnea condition and they find out about it, can they fire them for that? So I don't know that, like Frank says, we're there yet, but is everything that you said about the cameras and the monitoring and all of the rest of that is all okay under the law. It's not great. They're not great employers, but they want robots to drive these cars, these trucks, apparently. And when you're not a Teamster or you're not protected by a collective bargaining agreement or a contract, it has this related to it, you're at their, basically, you're at their will. So unless you can find a better gig.
There's no better gig out there. It's a great gig.
Here's the deal. Don't fall asleep.
Yeah, or better yet, here's what you do. Offer all of your coworkers a giant meatball sandwich before they drive. And about 15 minutes later, they'll start to drift off and they'll all buzz. And you'll be the one guy. You'll be the star.
Star of the company.
Everybody's going to the sleep apnea clinic.
Except me.
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike's not sleeping.
Let's give him a raise.
So unless you get them a big meal, you better keep it between the white lines. And what'd they say in the old, trucker, the CB radios? Put the hammer down.
Put the pedal to the metal.
Pedal to the metal and the good side down.
Something close enough.
10-4, good buddy.
Mike, you're worried about something that hasn't happened yet. You're probably a good driver. I doubt that you're falling asleep at the wheel. Try to.
15 years without an accident.
I don't think you have a lot to worry about. They're not going to get gonna fire you, Mike, because you crossed the line a couple of times.
Try
the
meatball sandwich.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck. They can do it. They can do this to answer your question. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Thank you. Merry Christmas, guys.
I have to do one quick bit of business. We'll jump right. Do we have to do traffic or something?
We don't have to.
Let me do this and we'll jump back. In fact, we've already done it. It's First Community Credit Union. We've already done it. When we spoke with Phyllis, we told her home equity loan, First Community Credit Union. She was worried about her credit rating. Your credit rating becomes much less important if you have a $375,000 home and the equity in it's $375,000. You can have a credit rating of 4. I don't think you're going to have a problem because they're well covered in case you decide to bail or not make your payments. First Community Credit Union, yes, they do that. They do home loans. They do home equity loans. They do auto loans. They love motorcycles and boats. Lots of banking institutions don't. They do. I know it's not the weather right now, but it will be. And when it's spring and you want a boat or a motorcycle, talk to First Community Credit Union. Talk to them if you're a small business about being a business partner. They're a great business partner for small business. And then the rest of us, just checking, savings, credit card, debit card, even if you have a great big ledger-type checkbook like Scott does when he goes into his office place, or you don't have one at all and you just use a credit and debit card. First Community Credit Union, and one more thing because it's on less than 48 hours, the yard sale, the great yard sale. Forget eBay, forget Craigslist, forget all that stuff. The good old-fashioned, all-American yard sale. Neighbors selling things to other neighbors and you getting to hear their voices. There's something about hearing the person who's selling something. Sometimes you can tell a lot from a person's voice. It's fun to listen to people who are selling things. It's fun to get a deal. It's fun to get cash for something you don't need anymore. And it's fun just to listen. This is the original yard sale and we can use more callers the first hour, 7 to 8. I know, old habits die hard. You're used to calling the other place for 20 years. Knock it off. Don't call them. That doesn't help us. 590, the app. I don't care where you are. 590, the fan. That's the app. Everybody can participate. Saturday morning, 7 to 9. And remember, it's all made possible by First Community Credit Union. Over 40 locations, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. FirstCommunity.com. Back to the calls. So that Scott Sherman can help you. Jer is next. Jer, Merry Christmas. Welcome to 590. The fans say hi to Scott Sherman.
Scott, top of the day to you, buddy.
Hey, Jer, how are you?
I'm doing quite nicely. First of all, I want to say a personal endorsement. First Community, you can't go wrong.
And short and sweet. First Community, you can't go wrong. There's the new slogan. Right there. Thank you, Jer.
No, I'm speaking from personal experience. And I want to thank them for providing this service and also Saturday.
Well, they don't provide this service. They provide Saturday. But they sort of do because they sponsor this whole show. So what do you have for Scott?
Well, actually, Scott, I really need to talk to you if you would be kind enough to give me a call. But I'll make this one real sweet and short. My grandmother became very ill after she was discharged from the hospital. She didn't have a choice. She had to go into a nursing home. My mom did not want to sign the papers, so I gladly did that. My mom promised that she would go ahead and make things right. When she passed away, she was in a nursing home herself, and one of the attendants went ahead and had my mom sign a will willing her estate to this individual and several others.
Well, hold on. One of the attendants in the nursing home had your mom will everything to her?
To this person and several other people.
To this person, meaning the person that worked in the nursing home?
Correct.
Yeah, none of this sounds good.
Now, how long ago was that, Chair?
A number of years ago.
What's the number?
I don't remember offhand.
Okay.
You don't have any idea how long this was? It's your mom who died.
It's been about, my mom passed away back in 2011.
All right, well, this is not real crystal clear. Your mom is in a nursing home and your grandmother?
They both, yeah.
Okay, who is it that died and willed everything to the nursing home employee? Which one?
My mom.
Okay. Where's your grandmother?
Well, she passed away and she didn't have anything.
Okay, well, you left that part out. So she's out of the story, right? This is kind of irrelevant, right? So let's leave her out of it. Let's get to what matters here. Your mom?
Well, the thing was that I took financial responsibility for my grandmother in a nursing home.
Okay. And that has what to do with what?
So the thing is that my mom promised that she would make things right with me because she didn't want to sign the papers. So my mom passes away, everything is willed to these clowns in the nursing home, and we took them to court, and because of my relatives didn't want to go ahead and make a big issue out of it, they went ahead and agreed to take a percentage of the will. Hmm. I never was compensated for what I did for my grandmother, which my mom promised me. My question to Scott is, do I have a leg to stand on?
Well, I'm going to turn it over to Scott. It sounds to me like you had a lawsuit against these employees. They're employees at a nursing home. They're related to your mom?
It's a fraud lawsuit.
Yeah,
to
huge fraud.
The will.
No.
But the claim against the will has to be made within a certain amount of time. If Jer had a claim against his mother's estate, that has to be done. There are periods of time, limitation periods, after a notice is given, and it's long been past. So I'd be happy to have you talk to an estate planning person, but I'm guessing, based on the facts that I hear, that no, at this time you don't have a claim against the estate. It's all been discharged and taken care of, and there's nothing that can be done about that. If there had not been litigation against these clowns, and Jer's exactly right, and he could call them worse, but he wouldn't, but there were the worst, lowest form of life here, then that would be something to pursue. But it looks like it's been pursued. It doesn't seem like at this time that there's anything you can do. Now, they haven't come after you, this nursing home, have they?
Did you pay them? I paid them.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you mind sharing the amount, or do you want to keep that private?
No. It's almost 29 grand.
29,000.
That you wouldn't have had to pay had you gotten money from your mom. Was your mom in her right mind when she decided to will this to these people? Was she? No, his mom. It's his mom.
When his mom, I think that they did some kind of fraud on your mom, right, Jer?
Oh yeah, and without a doubt.
And did you ever get anything out of that undoing of that will?
Well, I did get some money, yes. Okay. And the problem is that number one, the person from the nursing, there was actually three people from the nursing home. Yeah. Once we took the case to court, two of the people dropped out.
Right. Well, the other problem is this. You may have, your mom may have made something called a gratuitous promise. You had already agreed to stand behind your grandma's bill with the nursing home before she promised to make things right, correct? Well, your mom promised after you had paid to make things right.
No. She promised she would make it right.
I think it's just too late. It's a statute of limitations.
Too late. It's already been to court. Already done.
Send me an email, Jer. Oh, you don't have email. Okay. I'll call you tomorrow.
I don't have email.
I'll call you tomorrow, and I'll have you talk to somebody. But I am saying 99% of my leaning is against, as my grandfather would say, lazim gain. Let it go. It's water under the bridge.
All right. I'm going to take one more call. I want to jump. At least one more call. Jared, go ahead.
Wait, Scott, one more thing. I have an issue with the VA. Can you help me with that?
We'll talk about all of it.
Yeah, we'll have to do that another time.
Thank you, Jared.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Let's get Jeff in here. Jeff, we don't have a lot of time. We have 3 minutes or so, 3.5. We'll do what we can with it. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hello.
And, AM and the PM.
Thank you.
So, hey, Scott. So my wife sent you an email, but I thought this would be a good topic to talk about on the air. I don't know if you had a chance to reply to her yet. But she was in a parking lot, and she clipped another car.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know it at the time. Got out, looked. No damage to the other car.
Well, what you said, she didn't know it at the time, but she got out and looked to see if there was damage to the other car. So she did know she clipped.
Didn't know there was damage to the other car.
Okay, I don't mean to be rude, but you said she clipped a car and didn't know it at the time. But then she got out. Okay, go ahead.
Misspoke. So she heard something, got out, looked, didn't see any damage on the other car, a rub mark on hers. Was able to rub it out, didn't think too much of it, no damage to the other car, and then left. A few days later, the Manchester police called and found her on security camera and asked if she was involved in this incident because of a broken taillight on the other car.
Leaving the scene of an accident ticket.
Yeah, but it was a hit and run. Yeah. I thought is what they said. But
that's a euphemism for leaving the scene of an accident.
Okay. And so he did write her a ticket for that and said that's a mandatory court appearance. And so the question is the officer made it sound like the judge just wants to make sure you have insurance and chances are it'll be reduced down. Is that something where a lawyer needs to be present?
Yes. The Manchester police do a great job. That advice was terrible. That you don't go in there without a lawyer. What you need is to get a lawyer. Have the lawyer or you get in touch with your insurance company, make a claim, say, hey, take care of this. And when the claim is resolved, the insurance adjuster will write a letter to the lawyer that says, we took care of the claim for, you know, Jane Doe, in this case with Jeff's wife. Then the lawyer would send that letter to the court, and the prosecutor in that jurisdiction, whom I know, would, I don't know what he would do, but... in my experience, that would go a long way towards what you're looking to get out of, which is some kind of point violation. Yes, the judge wants this paid, but there's a procedure by it. And just like Justice Pinion nailed you on your first statement, you don't want or your wife to say things that don't go over well in court, because the object here is to get rid of this ticket without points. So I would say get a lawyer. I'm happy to talk to you guys about it. I haven't read that email, but we can chat tomorrow about it.
Jeff, somebody, the taillight your mom hit, somebody could have been standing behind that car and been killed. I think she should be charged with attempted manslaughter. That's just that's my own personal opinion.
We will charge it as attempted manslaughter if you came to both Frank and I.
Do you have Scott's email address?
Yes, and we've already emailed him.
Okay.
But in case it went to spam or something, I'll resend it.
I think this is not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. For decent people, it's scary because it involves the police and the courts,
right.
But
it's
you
not.
Probably won't ever have to go to court if you hire a lawyer. You don't have to hire me. It's not a go-to-court kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Good luck, Jeff. Merry Christmas. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Merry Christmas. Real quick, the public service announcement is if somebody's involved in a bump in a parking lot, no damage appears to the other car, what's the right thing to do?
Right, take a business card or some piece of paper and write your cell phone number and name on it and say,
I hit your car,
please call me, I'll take care of it with my insurance.
If there's any damage.
Do that.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, we're out of time. First of all, Scott, thanks to Peroni's Pizza for sponsoring Scott and for serving tremendous food and giving everybody a great value Monday through Friday with the all-you-can-eat buffet from 11 to 2. And on Friday, it includes their chicken wings, their enforcement, and St. Peter's. The website,
PirronesPizza.com, P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S. Scott Sherman, thank you for helping so many people.
You're welcome.
And,
thank you.
We will do this again next Thursday because we will be here because Christmas will be over. The news is coming up with Tim Woodburn after that. My goodness, folks, Reindeer Rock is going to be in the Playhouse and a great joke we tell only once a year, so don't go anywhere. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. In a tweet this evening, President Trump is saying that Defense Secretary General Jim Mattis will retire at the end of February. Fears of a government shutdown set the stage for a second straight day of big losses on Wall Street. Investor worries about the future.